Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? All on that day.
Hello and welcome to The Breakdown, brought to you by The Nation Magazine and TheNation.com. I'm Chris Hayes, Washington editor of The Nation. Each week here on The Breakdown, we take your questions via Twitter at Chris L. Hayes or via email at TheBreakdown@TheNation.com. The way it works is this. You send us questions about what's perplexing you this week in Washington, and we try to break it down.
Will I run to the rock? Please hide me, I run to the rock. Please hide me, I run to the rock. Please hide me, Lord.
Hello, welcome back to The Breakdown, week 58, episode 58 in a collector's series. This week, we have a question from Michael Persoon. He is a big fan of the show and a friend of mine. M. Persoon is his Twitter handle. And his question is, what is going on with IRS investigations into contributions to political advocacy groups, i.e. 501c4 organizations, from wealthy individuals? Is the IRS entitled to place a gift tax on these contributions, and how will this affect the next election cycle? This question comes on the heels of reporting about the IRS opening up an investigation into the political donations of several very prominent, active, wealthy people like George Soros and the Koch brothers, who have been donating a lot of money to these 501c4 organizations, which are in fact tax deductible. And the IRS is looking into the activities of those organizations to see if they are in fact within the confines of the law. To further explain this, I have with me Donald Tobin. He's quickly become one of the nation's leading experts in the intersection of tax and campaign finance laws. He's authored numerous articles and worked as an attorney in the tax division of the U.S. Department of Justice, currently a professor at Ohio State University. Donald, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So maybe let's start out with the sort of basic terrain of what a tax-deductible nonprofit is and what different kinds of tax-deductible nonprofits there are.
That's a really good place to start because there's a lot of confusion about how these things work. There are really three types of organizations we think of in this context. One are what we think of our charitable organizations, our 501c3 organizations. When you make contributions to those organizations, they're deductible, but also things that are considered income to the organization are tax exempt. Those organizations are not allowed to intervene in a political campaign.
Before we move on, just so that we can give some exemplars of the category. So everything from Harvard University to the Episcopal Church on my block, those are all 501c3s, right?
Correct. They have to be charitable, educational organizations. There's a whole set of them. But what we think of as our charities are 501c3 organizations, and they're not supposed to engage in intervention in a political campaign at all. And as a tax matter, contributions you make are deductible. So they are both tax exempt and contributions are tax deductible. Then way on the other side, we have our 527 political organizations. Those are PACs, those are candidate committees, and those are also tax exempt organizations that are organized with the primary purpose to intervene in elections. Now those organizations, when you write a check to them, that's not deductible, but their income is still tax exempt. So they're called tax exempt in a different way. Now those organizations, by law, are required to disclose contributions and expenditures. So it's tax exempt, contributions to them are not deductible, and they're required by law to disclose.
Okay, so I'm gonna set up a, I want to legalize marijuana, so I'm going to set up a 527 organization for marijuana legalization, and I get you, Donald Tobin, to write a check to my new marijuana legalization organization, and you write a check for $100. Now, you don't get to deduct that $100 from the income you report, but when I get that $100, I don't have to pay taxes on that $100. That's the sort of landscape.
That's correct, except for one big thing. If you were trying to talk about legalizing marijuana, you would actually create a 501c4 social welfare organization, which is what we were going to talk about today.
Perfect.
You would not set up a 527. A 527 is when you want to intervene in a campaign on behalf of a candidate.
I see. So not an issue. It's candidate specific.
Right. Now, sometimes issues are so obviously candidate specific that you run a little problem. But yes, 527s for candidates, 501c3 for charities, and then we have 501c4 social welfare organizations. And that's what we're currently dealing with when we talk about what's going on now with the IRS, because 527 organizations and 501c3 organizations are specifically exempt from gift tax payments in the code. So there's a specific provision that says if you make a contribution to a charity, a 501c3, or if you make a contribution to a 527, that those contributions are not subject to gift tax.
Now I just got confused. So what is a gift tax and how is that different from income tax?
So income tax is what we all pay when we make money or when an entity receives income. A gift tax is actually when I transfer money to you. If I want to give you money because I like you, if I give you a lot of money, then that actual transfer is subject to gift tax. And the reason for that is because otherwise, right before people died, they would just give all their money to their kids, and there would be no estate tax.
Right.
So the gift tax is set up as a backstop for the estate tax, and they run together. And the key is the person who makes the donation is the one who pays the gift tax. The other thing that your listeners probably have heard, just because people say it, which is that you can give $10,000 tax-free. It's actually 13 now because it's adjusted for inflation. But if you give someone $13,000 or less, there's just a provision that says you don't have to pay gift tax on that. So it's only amounts over $13,000 that are subject to the gift tax.
And people are probably familiar with this. You know, I know I have friends whose grandparents would sort of put this money in an account for them every year that was, you know, up to the gift tax limit, right?
Right, and then you really like those grandparents, and those are the ones you want to have. But and there's another provision that allows you to take an exemption and give a little more, but it's more complicated than is relevant here. But generally, we think about this $13,000 as the amount you can give without being subject to gift tax reporting.
Okay, so let me just so we're tracking here. We've got these two different kinds of organizations, the 501c3 on one end, which is charities, the 527 on the other, which is candidates. And you're saying both of those are exempt from gift taxes.
By statute. I mean, it's just written into the statute that exempts them.
Okay. Now we get to the one in the middle, which is the 501c4.
Right.
What is the deal with 501c4 and gift tax?
Okay, so 501c4s are what are called social welfare organizations. And presumably, these are organizations that are organized to provide for the social welfare, not a charity. So they could be lobbying. They could be your committee for a greater marijuana policy, as you said, or they could be the committee for a greater America, and we want to talk about issues that concern us about the way America is going. So 501c4s, they're allowed to do lobbying, and they're actually allowed to intervene in elections, but that can't be, and this is important, that can't be their primary purpose.
Right. Now, quickly, are they also tax deductible?
They are not tax deductible. They are just tax exempt.
Okay, so they're like the 527 in regards to tax deductibility.
Exactly.
Okay, so if I write a $100 check to my, you know, Association for Better Marijuana Policy, I can't take that off my income just the same way if I, you know, had given it to a 527.
Right, and they don't claim it as income on their end.
Right,
which is
okay.
Okay, now the big key and the reason why people have been trying to move from 527s to C4s is because there are no disclosure requirements in the code for 501c4. So 527 has specific disclosure requirements on contributions and expenditures, but C4 does not. And so what these organizations are trying to do is they're really, in my view, 527s, but they're trying to get themselves into C4 so that they can avoid having to disclose contributions from the expenditures.
Right. So if you want, if there's some puppet master billionaire who wants to set up the, you know, the Committee for a Better Future, which has a agenda of, you know, maintaining ethanol subsidies, for instance, but doesn't want it to be known that said billionaire with a huge interest in ethanol is the one setting up the Committee for a Better Future, the 501c4 is very attractive.
Right. Now, and in fact, the 501c4 might even be proper in the way you've described it, because they're talking about the issues of ethanol. They're not talking about a particular candidate. So that probably would be a social welfare purpose, right? When we talk about disclosure, it's interesting. What we're really concerned about is corruption in the political candidates who are elected, and an issue can't be corrupted.
So this is about electoral politics. That's the kind of bright line. I mean, if there is a bright line, that's the line, at least statutorily, which is, is your purpose primarily electoral or not? That's the thing that puts you on either side of the 527-501c4 divide.
You got it.
Okay. So I think we now have the background necessary to talk about this new investigation that's opened up. Mm-hmm. What is that looking at?
Okay. So because 501c4s are not exempt from the gift tax, there's a question about whether or not contributions to 501c4s are subject to the gift tax. Now, I and lots of other people have argued that people need to be careful when they play this game of trying to move from 527s to C4s because of the fact that C4s are not statutorily exempt from the gift tax.
Fascinating.
And there have been questions about this going back to the 70s and early 80s, where there's kind of been a question of, are C4s subject to the gift tax? And the IRS's position has been yes. That was the most recent guidance, I think, is in the early 80s. I think it's 1982, where the IRS said, yes, these would be subject to gift tax. And there's one or two cases that actually apply the gift tax to C4s, and they're very old. So a lot of attorneys have said, you know, it doesn't look like the IRS is enforcing this. And so since 82, there's been this question in some people's mind about whether or not the gift tax would apply to these contributions or not. What seems to have happened recently, and there are lots of people who've been saying, well, in light of the C4s kind of getting into this political arena when they're maybe shouldn't be because their real primary purpose, they're more like 527s and people are doing this, well, maybe the IRS should start clamping down and enforcing the gift tax provision. So we recently got this wind that there were a couple of people who were being audited for whether or not they paid gift tax, and that started a huge excitement, and that's where we are right now.
Okay, so now we hear that there's audits of individuals, because of course, it's as you said before, it's the individuals who would pay the gift tax on the money that they gave.
Correct, and the estate tax doesn't apply to corporations.
Right, so these are very wealthy individuals who've given lots of money, and I wonder what you think, just sort of to wrap this up, what you think the effect of this is going to be going forward.
Well, I think it's going to chill some of these major contributions to C4s. I think it's going to make cautious donors more cautious. Mm-hmm. And so it may slow that down a little bit. I also think it's going to increase lawyers thinking up ways in which to hide those contributions, maybe creating corporations and running it through the corporations.
Right.
It may encourage rich people to use their corporations instead of their individual pocketbooks to donate.
Right.
So there's going to be a lot of avoidance activity that comes between this. There's going to be a lot of people who say, I just don't want to bother. What I'm hoping, because I actually think there's a real strong argument that C4s should be exempt from gift tax if you passed a statute to do it, is that it allows us to revisit and create kind of a coherent tax-exempt area law. Because right now, having 527s disclosed and not C4s creates this huge incentive for C4s to be involved in politics. And it creates, to me, the worst corrupting situation possible, where you have donors who are giving to these C4s, and they're anonymous, and they're giving to C4s who are bought and people who are really in the know, former administrative officials, people close to candidates, but they're quote-unquote independent.
Right.
And so after the election, the candidate gets to know who gave the millions of dollars, the donor knows who gave the millions of dollars, and none of the rest of us do.
Right.
And you have the worst formula for corruption that you could have. So my hope is, and maybe somebody will step back and say, wow, this is a little bit of a mess. Let's see if we can clean up the gift tax issue and the disclosure issue and have a better, more coherent policy. Whether that will happen in this environment, however, is really tough to see.
Donald Tobin is a professor in business law at Ohio State University. And Donald, I think that's the most fascinating tax law discussion I've ever been involved in. So thank you very much for coming on The Breakdown.
We need to talk more. I could probably give you some other fascinating ones. Thanks for having me.
We'll have you back on. The Breakdown is a weekly production of The Nation Magazine and TheNation.com. New audio casts are posted each Friday at TheNation.com and available on iTunes. The Breakdown was produced by Ryan Rafferty and yours truly. Senior producers of The Nation are Frank Reynolds and Emily Douglas. Questions, comments, and feedback should be sent to thebreakdown@thenation.com.
Oh, Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? All on that day.